All right, let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And I want to minister a message that is relevant to where we are a day after the projected president of the United States. And it's kind of a refocusing message. And so we want to look at a couple of scriptures here, and we want to look at how circumstances on earth do not alter the Lord in his heavens. Amen? No matter what's going on earth, you know, that doesn't rattle the Lord. That doesn't shake him. That does not make him nervous. It might make some of us nervous, but it does not move him. All right, so Isaiah chapter 6, please. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That is my text tonight. In the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah the prophet, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the entire temple. Now, we, you know, on Sunday mornings, we've been talking about intimacy with God. And the Lord's cry to us, an invitation to us, is into me, see. Amen? And that's how we come to know him better, when we accept that invitation for ourselves personally. In our relationship with God, we're not satisfied with just the acts of God. We're not just satisfied with the miracles of God. Those are cool, but we want to know the miracle worker. Amen? Like we quoted Psalm 103, verse 7 this morning, that Moses knew the ways of the Lord. The Israelites only knew the deeds of the Lord. So we want to be like Moses. We don't want to be just like the Israelites. Because, you know, as I read the Bible, how many of y'all know that miracles, as much as they were signs and wonders to point people to the Lord, that miracles were not enough to sway or persuade a human heart to turn toward the Lord. Right? What did Jesus say? This adulterous generation seeks a miraculous sign, but none shall be given it. In Jesus' day, people saw miracles. Amazing miracles, and many of them did not follow the Lord. What about the multiplying of the loaves and the fish? And the people did not. They wanted to make him earthly king. But then after a while, when they started hearing the words of the Lord that called them to a closer walk with him, they became offended and they quit following the Lord. So miracles don't do it. The ways of the Lord do it for us. So, you know, we often quote the scripture and we emphasize the latter half of the verse, but if we don't understand the first half of the verse, then we won't fully embrace what Isaiah is trying to communicate to us, what the Lord is trying to communicate to us. So I want to ask, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. Very important words. We cannot divorce the second half from the first half. Why is that important? So let's ask ourselves this question. Who was King Uzziah? Why was his death significant? Because it was in that same year that Isaiah saw the Lord, right? The Lord gave Isaiah the prophet a vision, but it happened in a context, and the context was that a king died. And then the Lord revealed himself to the prophet. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, please. And we're going to jump into verse 3. Notice here, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 42 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was in the sight of the Lord? He did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to how much that his father Amaziah had done. according to all that his father Amaziah had done. So could we say he was a good king? If he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, he was a good king. And in verse 5, he sought God in the days of Zechariah the prophet, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that true of us? As long as we seek the Lord, he'll make us prosper. Okay, so we see here that he's a good king. Now notice what all the Lord did through him. In verse 6, now he went out, King Uzziah went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneth, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur Baal, and against the Meunites. Also, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. So he was a great militaristic commander-in-chief. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. Now it speaks of the economy. He also built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. So he had a great military. He had a great economy. Can I hear an amen, please? Verse 11, moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies according to the number on their roll as prepared by Jael the scribe and Maaseiah the officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600, and under their hand was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Could we say that Israel was set? They were set economically. They were set militaristically. Okay, verse 14, and then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. So these guys had tactics, warlike tactics, that no other army had. Skillful men said, King Uzziah, this is how we're going to go to war. And wow, revolutionary. So Israel was set. This was a good king because he did what? He sought the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord prospered him. But verse 16 begins with a but. But when he was strong in his heart, was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Who was the only person qualified to enter into the temple of the Lord to burn incense? The priest. And in the holiest place, it was whom? The high priest. Verse 17, so Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord who were valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn the incense to the Lord, but for the priest, the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. This is a sad, sad verse. Verse 21, King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house judging the people of the land. Isn't that a tragic ending to what was otherwise a very successful king? Amen? He sought the Lord, and as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. But then comes that sneaky little sin that at first seems innocent, but as the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it brings about destruction. And it did just that for Uzziah, the king. Now, how much different is it now that we know this in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, when we read Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. How much more important does that phrase, I saw the Lord, make of how much more importance is it now when we read Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord? Because most of us, what would we be looking at? If we were at the shopping lanes at a grocery store, we'd be paging through the pages of the Inquirer, King Uzziah. Read all about it. The sultry details. Photos of his leprosy on his forehead. Come on, somebody. The disgraceful fall of King Uzziah. It'd be on ABC. It'd be on CBS. It'd be on NBC. It would be on Fox. Shoot, even TVN might have a sector on that. Why did King Uzziah fall? We would be all about the fall instead of the Lord. Now, what does that say to us, church family? We can still see the Lord in the midst of tragedy and disappointment. Can I get a witness, please? How many of us can say, in economic downturn, I see the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filling the temple? When our man that we voted for, that we were so emotionally invested, so thankful for, because of what he's done, that honored God's word, that honored God's wishes, and then all of a sudden is seemingly phasing out of the picture, can we say, I still see the Lord high and lifted up, the train of his glory is filling the temple? Can we say with other people, my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ and is not in some political figure? Even with the threat of socialism knocking on our doors, can we say, I see the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe is filling the temple? Can we also say that with the prospects of a new president, if he in fact does decide to pack the court, the Supreme Court, can we say, I see the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filling the temple? What I'm saying, church families, are our eyes on the tragic fall of Uzziah, or are our eyes in Isaiah's vision of seeing the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on his throne, the train of his robe filling all of his temple? Who's ever watched a royal wedding? Aren't those spectacular? Have you noticed that with the lady marrying, you know, the prince, that there's always, she has this wedding dress that is miles long. The train is just miles long, because that speaks of her royalty and her regalness. Well, how long was the Lord's train? The train of his robe. It filled the temple. You know, I believe that our God is, he promotes one, he puts another man down, he promotes one man up to serve his purposes. You know, I've got to often think that, you know, think with me, church family. We just stop and think. We maybe can connect dots. Can you imagine what Hitler could have done if he had nuclear weapons at his disposal? Had he been born in this era rather than in the era he was born in? He would have destroyed the earth. Don't you think the Lord knew that? Don't you think the Lord said, you know, bucko, you can do evil so far, but then I'm going to step in, and evil will never thwart the plans of the Lord? Amen? The plans of the Lord will stand. The book of Proverbs says, man in his heart devises his plans, but the purposes of the Lord shall stand. They shall stand. They're unshakable. They're immovable. Evil has its limits. We've read the back of the book. That's right. We win. Right, church family? We win. Why? Because we see the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of His robe fills the temple. You know, I remember when I was just a young father, and sometimes when we're young and we don't have a lot of life experience, that we become more skittish, we're more knee-jerk prone to knee-jerk reactions. And I remember when our firstborn, Sophia, her mother and I would have to take her to the doctor time and time and time and time again because she had ear infections. And, you know, we just prayed and prayed and prayed. And, oh, God, we just got tired of going to the doctor. But then, to us, that was the end of the world. How many of y'all know that was not even a speed bump in the landscape of life? You know, my encouragement to us, church family, is don't let this post-election projection be the end of the world for you. It might not even be a speed bump. You know, sometimes I've learned to guard my heart. Can I be honest with you? When it comes to politics, I've learned to guard my heart. There's a lot of people making a lot of noise over not much. Amen? We have to remember there are checks and balances in place in our system of government. And no one person can become a tyrant. The Lord's not going to allow it. You know, I've asked the Lord, don't get me wrong, I may look unflappable, but I've asked the Lord 1,000 times this past week, why would you only use one man so effective in office for one term? Why? Lord, I think He could have done even more, but how many of y'all know that I'm not God's advisor? Go with me to Romans 11, please. Let's begin reading with verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who can say amen to that? For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Not me. Or who has first given to Him and it shall be repaid to him? Verse 36, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. His purposes stand. I don't always understand the ways of the Lord. But you know what? He calls us to love His ways, even when we can't understand them. Amen? He still says, follow me. He told Peter, Peter, you're going to die a death that will glorify me. Peter, it sunk on him, and he's like, what about John? Yeah. Typical human being. Peter, if it's my will, what is that to you? What is that to you about John? That's between me and John. If it is my will that John remains alive when I return, that's between us two. You just follow me. So can I ask us this question? Are we just following Jesus in our lives? Can we say, Lord, sign me up for another 4 years of shining your light, declaring your word, of being a faithful witness of the love of Jesus, of being a faithful witness of the integrity of God's word to other people, of being a faithful witness of your kindness, Lord, of your goodness to others? Come on, somebody. I'm signing up. You know what? Because Biden's not the hope of America. They might be the opposite. Jesus is the hope of America. And as Ms. Nola said tonight, let's keep the main thing the main thing.
I hope we don't see our churches shut down.
Right.
That'll be the next thing to come.
Right. Well, we'll defy the orders, right?
We're lying up there on the border patrol in Germany and hoping that communism didn't come in.
Right.
Because they had to run over us. We might have slowed it, but we wouldn't have stopped it.
Right. Well, we're going to stay open.
I'm standing up for the next 4 years.
I like that. Who would like, if you're with us, stand up, please. I like, thank you, Miss Normie. Amen. Stand up with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're gonna shine our light, Lord. We're going to do what you've called us to do. We're going to keep looking to you and seeing that you are high and lifted up, seated on a throne, the breadth, the length, the width of your train fills your entire temple, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for igniting passion, igniting a resolve in our spirit, a steel commitment within us, Lord, that we will not be swayed, that we will not be suctioned to the right hand or to the left. Lord Jesus, that we're going to follow you, no turning back, no turning back. Democrat, Republican, or independent, we're following you, Lord Jesus, in this great country, still upholding the values that this great country was founded on, Lord. Still upholding your word. Still upholding your worship publicly. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.